right here on Sideline to Sideline for an issue brought to you by L4FR Clothing, Zanigo, and Fat Cow Jerky. I am Terry Bennett. That's Grant Goodwin. If you didn't listen to the 3A show, I'm assuming the 3A show will go first. We're having some technical issues, so if things don't sound right tonight, it's not us. It's you. No, we're having technical issues. We're having to do it like really old school style right now till we figure it out. Also, if you listen to coaches' shows that I do normally on Wednesday, they're going to have to be moved to Thursday because I've got to get equipment to fix the issue. But we're making it work tonight. He's Grant. I'm Terry. This is 4A, and we do appreciate you. And more importantly, we're ready for next week. We're doing the show because we're contractually required.
If you're going to be a short show, right?
Yeah. If you remember, there was a time when we took the last week off in the regular season.
You want to do that right now?
Yeah, let's go. We're out. Coach X will take care of this. But now we're here. You know, we have these contractual agreements and stuff.
I'm not signing anything.
Yeah, you sign it with blood every time. Speaking of, let's thank our title sponsor, L4FR Clothing. You can find them online at L4FRClothing.com for all your fire-resistant clothing needs. And right now, they have got a great deal for all you Sideline to Sideline listeners. Go in there and get whatever you need, whether it be your fire-resistant jeans, your fire-resistant pullovers, your free flows, your safety goggles, your safety gloves, anything that you need, put it in that cart. And when you go to checkout, in the promo or discount code, type in Sideline. You get 20% off your total amount. People always ask what they can do to help the show. Use our sponsors because they rely on us to advertise, and we want to show them that our listeners will buy their product. And that's the whole reason Brett Lee joined us, is because he felt, you know, he has clothing that is perfect to our level of the people that listen to our show. And so prove him right. So check him out. L4FR Clothing. Again, you can call them at 817-757-4935 or email them info@L4FRClothing.com. Also, Fat Cow Jerky. Right now, $100 of jerky gets you free shipping, and it's very easy to get $100 of jerky from Fat Cow. Not because it's expensive. In fact, it's pretty darn affordable, but you got all the flavors. Carolina Q is the newest one, and that's our favorite one, and we have been fighting over it the last couple of road trips. They have others, Reaper, Maple Breakfast Jerky, Mango Habanero, Pickle Flavored, all other ones, so check them out again. That's FatCowJerky.com. So what we're going to do is what we always do. We're going to review week 10, then we'll preview week 11. Coach X will join us, and we're going to do all that when we come back. Right here on Sideline to Sideline, the 4A edition on the LSG Sports Network. In today's COVID world, we all talk about disinfecting and being clean. And boy, do I have a company that is the best at that. Zanigo. X-A-N-I-G-O. Real simple. Zanigo. They are a disinfecting sprayer, system, and processor that is a game changer. Their goal is to create the safest environment for humans to live, learn, and, of course, be entertained. They strive relentlessly to create highly effective, affordable, and accessible disinfectant solutions that allow companies, high schools, colleges, wherever people gather en masse. Zanigo is the company that you want to use to disinfect, to spray, to clean, as they are the pathogen prevention innovative company. Again, Zanigo, X-A-N-I-G-O. And don't just take my word for it. Listen to some of the schools that use the Zanigo spraying system to keep their locker rooms clean and free of not only COVID, but hey, you remember Staff and Mercer? Remember how a few years ago how big that was? It hit the NFL, went right through the NFL. Players lost game times. Some players lost limbs and lost their way of life because a simple thing of keeping the locker rooms clean were not being done by companies that paid these players millions of dollars. So what do you think high schools, do you think coaches are remembering all that? Because these coaches are. And by the way, these coaches not only win on the field, but they're winning in the locker room. Schools like Highland Park, Duncanville, Arlington Martin, Sunnyvale, Redwater, Stephenville. Hey, Stephenville just had a huge win this past week over La Vega, and now Stephenville's looking like a top four team. Part of the reason why they keep their locker room clean. I know that sounds crazy, but it's that simple. Also, check out these universities, UNT, Ole Miss, Tarleton, University of Texas, SMU, Navarro, and so much more use the Zanigo spray system to keep their locker rooms clean and free of MRSA, staff, COVID, flu, ringworm, and so much more. You can give them a call, 214-460-4401. You can find them on Twitter at Zanigo Sprayer or at Brandon Zanigo, and you can find them online at Zanigo.com. Terry Bennett, Grant Goodwin back here, Sideline to Sideline, the 4A edition. Brought to you by L4FR Clothing. Also want to thank Zanigo.com or Zanigo Cleaning System at Zanigo.com. Disinfectant system that's the latest in the pathogen prevention innovation. We'll be talking a lot about Zanigo come in the playoffs because they're big sponsors for all of our playoff shows. You can reach out to them, 1-800-514-7837, or go to on their website again, Zanigo.com. And again, we'll be talking about them here in the coming weeks. All right, let's get into Week 10 review. Let's start at the game that we were at. Stephenville outlast Heritage 38-27. Boy, Heritage looked like they were fooling all of us. They jump out 14-0, and it wasn't a fluke 14-0. I mean, you know,
Caden Brown, quarterback from Heritage, was just gashing that vaunted Stephenville defense, and that is a good Stephenville defense, but Caden Brown was just having his way there, especially in the first quarter. They jumped up 14-0 early.
Yep. But then that defense steps up in that second half. And it wasn't just simply
Stephenville defense.
Yeah. And it wasn't just simply stopping them. It was creating the turnovers. It felt like the game got changed on the 95-yard scoop and score.
Dude, this game,
I know it was tense for the Stephenville fans, but for Stephenville to kind of figure out where they're at and how they've been doing all year, I think this was a great last test right before the playoffs to know you're down, you can come back, you can still win the game.
Yeah.
Still win the game going away.
Well, Stephenville won. It was just a mucky game for them, right? They did not – Stephenville did not play their best game, right? I mean, it was sloppy. They just some defensive deficiencies there in the first half. The Stephenville defense was totally different in the second half, but they just won an ugly game. And they hadn't really had to play in a dogfight like that in a while. So I think this was good for Stephenville. And you're right, that 95-yard scoop and score by Stephenville really turned the game. And Stephenville's defense forced some more turnovers after that. But Stephenville's quarterback, Ryder Lambert, he threw for 112 yards and two touchdowns. Not a big game for him. But when it was ugly like that, he got it done. Reese Elston had 7 catches for, 65 yards. I think the X factor was Elston just, I don't know, just he was so he's so big and physical. When you throw that little jailbreak to him or those little, just any kind of screen to him, he gets that big body in there and just powers through, scored that the winning touchdown basically for Stephenville. Just fought his way through Heritage defenders and ended up in the end zone. This Stephenville team is good, and they are huge, by the way, on the offensive line and defensive lines. But that offensive line is absolutely huge.
And as great as Stephenville offensively has, it seems like they've always been. The difference this year is that defense.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that not only are they good, but they're good against good teams. And, yeah, Heritage scored 27 on them. But where Heritage started that game and where Heritage ended that game offensively was not only a tell of two halves, it was a tell of, two drives. They won two drives, and then Stephenville won every other drive, basically.
Right.
And for Heritage,
they got a beat on Caden Brown. Brown was taking that snap for Heritage out of the shotgun and just gashing that Stephenville front. Once they got a bead on him, it was over.
And for Heritage, what we've learned is Heritage is going to beat everybody below them, but I don't trust them against anybody that's a little bit above them because that
I don't know. I was very impressed with Heritage.
No, I'm impressed with them, but I'm just saying, you look at their record, and the only what you would call good team that they beat, if you want to count Kennedale and Springtown, but neither one of them, I think, are really on the state level.
No.
They played three.
That's right.
They played three state-level teams. They lost to Melissa, they lost to La Vega, and they lost to Stephenville.
Yeah.
And two of those were by 20 points or more. And the Stephenville game, it kind of felt that game would have kept going, Stephenville would have ended up winning by, 50-27 or something.
Did you know Heritage needed to win this game by 13 points to claim the district championship?
Yes. I don't think they're going to.
No.
They are. And, hey, we'll talk about this, though, again. Heritage now, they have Alvarado this week. They're going to be the third-place team. We knew this district's tough, but, man, do you want to play the third-place Heritage Jaguars coming out of the first round of the playoffs?
No, because I think that Heritage defense is very underrated.
I do, too.
I've got to say that.
Hey,
I heard about Caden Brown and that offense, but that Heritage defense, seeing them for three quarters, look, Stephenville put up 38 points, but – their defense attributed a lot of those points.
Well, and again, when I say about Heritage, I don't mean that as a negative. Heritage will beat everybody that's on their level or below. That's a 3-4 round trip minimum for them, most likely.
Yeah.
In fact, they probably will end up playing one of their district brethren in the playoffs, and that's probably where they'll be knocked out. Dude, you look at Heritage, you know, we talk about Brock. And
it's a tough region.
Well, it's a tough region, but we talk about Brock. They won a state championship. Heritage hasn't done that, but for them to have come from where they started just 5 years ago, and they're already a mainstay at the region semifinal level.
You know what that's called? Coaching.
Yes.
Everybody on Coach Wigginton's staff, along with Cooper Crowell at offensive coordinator, their position coaches, that's just a great coaching staff to be able to implement a program like that and be a threat every year.
And this is their youngest team probably since 2016. And this is why we're saying this is where they've arrived as a program. Their youngest team, your defensive newcomer of the year became your quarterback finally, him and Rumsfeld. I think it was Rumsfeld, was not Donald Rumsfeld, but I think it was Rumsfeld's his name. They battled for the quarterback position some last year and into the offseason this year. Yeah, it was Reese Rumsfeld. But Caden Brown has established himself. But this is a young team. They're only going to get better. And again, we have to say it's that year. Whatever they end up realignment-wise, unless they just end up right back into this type of a district, Heritage isn't going away anytime soon.
You know, Stephenville's young in a lot of positions.
Exactly. And that's scary because it
– But we're talking this year, Stephenville, very tough.
Yes.
Heritage, very tough.
Speaking of very tough, Dumas beats Canyon 29-14.
Brady of a shocker to me.
Yeah, because it felt like Canyon was – finally starting to be like, because it always seems like they get tripped up 2-3 games a year that you just go, wow, that wasn't expected. And it felt like they were finally getting past that. And then, boom, they get beat 29-14. Their only other loss was to Canyon Randall, 20-13. For Dumas, you know, they've been up and down, but they're 2-0 in district. Braden Boggs was the big guy running for 126 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You believe the Dumas defense, though? That's the big – look, I know Boggs, 126 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's great. But the Dumas defense, what they did, they had seven sacks and stopped Canyon on 12 of 15 third down attempts.
Well, and that's – you know, Dumas is upswing the last few years has been defensively led.
Yes.
And at times this year they've struggled, but they've struggled against good teams. 38 to Randall, gave up 38 to Ryder, gave up 27 to Estacado in a win. But since that giving up 38 to Randall, they've only given up now 20 points in 4 games, 6 of them to Ulysses, Kansas. And so, man, that defense is getting hot at the exact right time going into the playoffs.
Yep.
All right, well, speaking of Decatur and Wichita Falls and Dumas and Canyon and all that, Wichita Falls Hershey outlasts Decatur 28-22. Hershey's now 7-2. Validates us putting them in the poll. No, good win for them. Decatur feels like they're – it's going to sound weird saying this, but it feels like they're one player away from being a really, really good team.
Yeah.
Because, man, they are battling, and I think Decatur's still going to be a tough outcome playoffs, but for Hershey, hey, they just continue to win out there.
Yep. All right, how about Paris 35, Wiley East 14? This was a Thursday night game. The rare Thursday night non-district game on week 10.
Yeah, right? Both had teams that had forfeited or were unable to play at one point in the season, and Paris and Wiley East played. Nothing really to talk about the game. Wiley East is not a great team, but it is impressive for Paris to completely dominate them 35-14.
Yeah, Paris is now 6-3. They got Argyle this week, right? But Paris has made a complete turnaround after that Melissa loss, I believe it was. Or no, Salina loss?
Anna
loss, yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that because is it a true turnaround or is it like Pottsboro? Because outside, and again, Wiley East is not great.
This is more of a true turnaround than what Pottsboro is because there's athletes galore at Paris.
Speaking of Argyle, they took care of Kaufman 48-21. Jet Copeland, 219 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I'm raising my hand. Teacher.
Yes, sir.
Has Argyle moving Jet Copeland to quarterback not seem like the shot in the arm to that Argyle offense who had been struggling the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah, it really does.
It really started with against Salina. They only put up, 23 points? And look, Salina's got an excellent defense, one of the best defenses in Class 4A. I understand. But Argyle of old would still put up 30-plus on an excellent defense, right?
I don't know if we've ever seen a three-game stretch outside of the playoffs where Argyle scored 23, 17, and 0. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever seen that.
But after that Melissa loss, Argyle moved Jack Copeland to quarterback, and all seems right in Argyle Eagle offense land, right? And the defense has never been a question for Argyle. The Argyle defense forced four Kaufman turnovers and limited Kaufman to just 147 yards passing.
Yeah, this game completely proved that Kaufman was a paper tiger.
Well, and that Argyle is just as good as we thought they were and getting better once they moved Copeland to quarterback. I think that was the key right there. If I am Melissa, I'm not sure that I feel as confident in playing Argyle again.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
and we could see that game again. I'm just saying,
I think it was a good chance.
That could be one heck of a matchup right there, and we probably got to go.
Speaking of a one heck of a matchup down in Southeast Texas, Huffman Hargrave, the Falcons beat Vider 13-7.
Okay, Vider gets the kiss of death for us putting them in the top 10. Every team that we introduced to our top 10 that week gets beat.
Except
it has not failed
one
this
time,
year.
One time.
What? Who?
And it's the one team that everybody questioned we put in, and that's Wichita Falls Hershey. They won the week that we put them in. And it's funny because they're the ones that
– they're the only team.
And it's weird because they're the ones that took the most flack of, wow, why do y'all have them in? Hey, for Vider, though, this isn't a terrible loss. Huffman Hargrave
were beat up, and then they finally got healthy this week and had most of their starters back. I mean, Huffman was a semifinalist last year. Regional finalist.
12-win team, yeah, region semifinalist last year.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, and again, last year the same thing kind of happened. They got hurt. If they can, you know, they play Livingston this week, and technically this is a battle for the last playoff spot. So, and Livingston's a good team that's kind of been beat up, and they've had a tough stretch here in the district play. But it's funny because Hargrave is one of those teams that if they can just get in, I think Hargrave could be a force. But
how scary is this district, by the way? Vider is still, I mean, look, there's no shame in Vider losing this game. Vider, to me, is still a top 10 team.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they stay in our top 10 team, and I would hate to play Vider. Look, Vider could win the region and make a run beyond the region. That's how good they are. Huffman, now that they're healthy, could win the region and make a run to the finals. And Huffman will likely go into the fourth spot. That's how crazy this how crazy good this is.
Well, and Grant, do you realize we're going to get first round matchups with this district with Kilgore and Lindell? And I mean, you're talking about there's a potential for there's two teams out of those two matchups that are going to go home that in any other region or any other draw
could be
a three or four round team. Yeah. And it wouldn't shock me if somebody from, it's going to happen. But I mean, now Vider's a third place team. They could be playing a Kilgore or Lindell in the first round.
Wow.
That's how that region, everybody gets caught.
I still think Vider's good enough to beat anybody.
I do too. And everybody gets caught up in Division II in Carthage. And I don't think people are realizing how wide open Division I is this year. I mean, we went with maybe 10 teams that could make a case. I think there's 15 teams that in Division I, if they got hot and they get the right draw, could play themselves into at least the semifinal.
And why not Vider? Why not Huffman, right?
Yeah, and it's about time for one of those teams from that region to hit one of those start beating everybody magically in magical ways and end up playing in the region final. All right, let's keep on going, though, and let's move now to El Campo beats West Columbia. Okay, so positive is El Campo's offense can't be stopped. Reuben Owens is – we all wondered what would happen inside of Chad Worrell's system and how much he would eat, and Reuben Owens is getting to eat.
Blocking schemes.
Yes.
Yes.
And just having other weapons around him like Jontre Davis and DK Ward. And Reuben Owens is amazing. But there is an issue that's starting to present itself for El Campo in the playoffs.
Is that on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, that defensive side is struggling. And that's the thing that Coach Worrell told me, and he told you, and he told us, he told his listeners on our coaches show each week. Defense is going to be the one that's the hardest to learn because he's having to teach kids to completely go against what they've learned their whole football life. And not that the other way was bad, it's just different. They used to play more of a read and react. You know, don't dominate the gaps, control the gaps.
Right.
Now
Shoot the gap.
Yes, Chad Wall. It's you. He wants you to smell blood and react.
Shoot the gaps. Yeah.
React on instinct. It's hard to teach that instinct in an off season. It's gonna take. It's gonna take maybe a couple of years before you start to see
that's
that.
That's gotta be trusting the back end behind you. If you're gonna shoot the gaps, you gotta trust that the back end's working behind you, right?
Yes, and let's be honest. And this is why he took the job in 4A. You have more offenses that can take advantage of that when you don't trust it or you don't shoot it or the back end doesn't hold up their end. And they have gone against some really good offenses. They've got to figure something out. They can outscore so many teams, but they're going to get into a game, whether it be a Kilgore or whether it be a Viter or whether it be somebody like that, that will control them enough defensively that they're going to have their defense make some plays. And I think that's the big question going
on. Any of those would be tasty matchups to go to, though. All right, how about Quinlan Ford, 39, Cattle Mills, 36. I can't ever remember up until last week talking about Quinlan Ford on the sideline. But here we are, Quinlan leading the nation in rushing yards per game. The whole nation, Terry.
I love that you found
USA. That. USA.
Yes.
Okay. All right. They're leading the nation in rushing yards per game this week. Look, they're 9-0, 4-0 in district. They beat Cattle Mills 39-36. It's kind of a pedestrian rushing game, though, for Quinlan this week. Jadonovan Williams runs for 110 yards on 24 carries. Eh.
Yeah. Right.
But still, yeah. They get the job done. If you are a top 10 team and you're facing Quinlan Ford in the second round, are you scared?
Yeah, I think so.
The way they pound the rock at you?
The way they pound the rock, and you and I had talked about this on the KTR show, that district has a path for the district champion, and maybe even the second-place team this year, but especially that district champ, there's a path that they have almost, and I'm not going to say it's a walk.
Third-round walk.
Yeah, because that's when, isn't that when Cattle Mills upset Pleasant Grove was the third round? Yeah,
yes, it was.
And so you're looking at a third round where you're going to see a team that you feel like, okay, that team can beat. I'm trying to look at it. So Cattle Mills won district last year.
Quinlan actually has a tougher first round when you look at it, maybe.
I don't know. It depends. I can't remember what Van did last year. Second round, they get the Canton-Van district. So as long as they avoid Van, which we'll talk about them in a minute, as long as they avoid Van, I mean, Canton's put up some great points and has a couple of really good wins. But it's weird to say this. Quinlan Ford would be in my opinion, the favorite in the second round.
Maybe, yes.
Either way, it's good to see the Panthers on the map like this. Hasn't been like this since Chris Island. We joke about it, but legitimately, that's the last time that they've had back-to-back playoff trips was 2002-2003.
Yeah, and I grew up, 20 minutes from Quinlan.
They used to be – they weren't even a basketball or baseball school, really. I mean, they've just never been
– for a place to go buy beer. when you went out to the lake out there,
yeah.
And they would sell the miners, and
oh, yeah.
I didn't do it.
No,
but I had friends that partook.
And since you don't snitch, you just had to sit there and just
right.
You just,
like, I had friends that would walk in their high school letter jackets and buy beer outside of Quinlan.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, guys, this isn't right.
You gotta love Lake Tawakoni.
This is not right, guys.
Of course,
it was actually West Tawakoni where they bought it.
Well, I was gonna say, let's be honest.
I drove them out there, but I didn't partake in it.
Let's be honest, though. Right now, out there, beer is probably the least worst.
Yeah, I know.
It's the weekly.
Bring on the beer problem. We'll handle
well,
that.
We'll detox on the weekend.
I don't know what you're saying, but I know what you're saying.
Speaking of Van, they outlast Canton in the Van Zant battle as the Vandals win 55-54. Jackson Rainey, the last 15 years.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the last 15 years, Van has become a quarterback school.
Mm-hmm.
And while Jackson Rainey hasn't put up some of the career stats like Moffitt and a couple others did, one of the best one-game performances, he throws an incompletion in his first pass, and then he completes the next 17 for 8 touchdowns and 537 total yards because he added 237 rushing yards to his 300 passing.
You will be hard-pressed to find a quarterback performance in the last 5 years than what Jackson Rainey did. 537 through the air, 237 on the ground.
Yeah, and
oh my gosh.
I mean, just he literally put the Van Vandals on his back and beat them.
No. He he ran for 237 and threw for 300.
Yes.
A total. Okay.
Yes.
But still, that is dominating.
Yes, it is. And again, and I know people go, well, that's Canton. Canton's not a bad team this year. I mean, Canton's been down the last 4 years. They're still Canton, and they're not Canton of 10 years ago where they actually would win 12 games a year. But I'm just saying that that's not.
Can I ask you this? Mm-hmm. Canton put up 54 points against this Van defense. Does that give you pause?
Well, I mean, you and I were talking about this.
Because Van's given up some points.
Well, and that's always been Van's thing. That's always going to be an issue.
That's always been Van's thing. And what is Van? Have they got past third round lately?
No, that's literally been their glass ceiling.
Right. And why is that?
Because they can't stop teams when it matters.
Exactly. So does that give you pause?
A little bit, yeah. I think so.
Okay, me, a lot.
They've got Brownsboro. Stop if you heard this one. This week, it's Brownsboro and Van for the district championship. Did John Settle move back to Brownsboro? We just didn't know about it. But anyway, good win for Van, and let's keep going. Speaking of great quarterbacks, Cuero was able to stymie one as the Gobblers beat Smithville 53-25.
Okay, that's a little surprising.
Very surprised. Not that they won, but how much they
won. How dominant it was. Yeah, Cuero scores 28 unanswered points to pull away in this game. Cuero ran for 354 yards against that Smithville defense.
But to stop Derek Roberson like they did, just consistently, I mean, Cuero at one point, like you said, they scored 28 unanswered points. And you got to – I worry about – you know, everybody keeps wanting to say Smithville might be a dark horse. But they have these games.
They are.
They are because they do a game like they beat Columbus 42.
Roberson is an X factor.
Yes.
And you have a quarterback like that, you can beat a lot of teams.
But there's been times like Yoakum held them to 3 points. And then Giddings, they were in a battle with Giddings all game and didn't win until late. I think consistency is the biggest issue for Smithville.
Well, and Smithville's defense, you know, they allow Tyson Williams to run for 226 yards on 19 carries. So that Cuero defense did expose that Smithville front seven, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, that is a look at week 10. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to preview week 11. And that means a little Coach Yaks right here on Sideline to Sideline, the 4A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing on the LSG Sports Network.
Hey everybody, this is Chris Daly with Lone Star Gridiron. Did you know that Lone Star Gridiron is fast becoming the Netflix of Texas high school football? Yes, we have several Texas high school football documentaries on the site with more coming very soon. We're talking the Cuero Gobblers history, the Abilene Eagles history, the Brownwood Lions, and of course, Odessa Permian. To sign up for this premium access, simply go to LoneStarGridiron.com/signup and become part of the Netflix of Texas high school football.
Terry Bennett, Grant Goodwin back here, Sideline to Sideline, the 4A edition brought to you by L4FR Clothing. It is the preview part of the show, so that means Coach X. So here's Coach X Diatribe brought to you by Zanago. Again, check out Zanago online at Zanago.com. You know, guys, my picks have been right around the 650 mark this year, but when I get them right, I get them right. West, yep, that was me. Columbus over Yoakum and Hallsville, yep, that was me too. Percentages down a little bit, though. Doing this legwork for Coach X School of Adults that want to play high school football has proven to be an ordeal. The UIL has some rule against players over the age of 21 playing high school football. Thanks, Obama. So I've been in meetings with lawyers all week trying to finally allow people 21 and up to play high school football again. I'm getting Maddie McConaughey to be the Lincoln lawyer and take my case, trying to get him to bring Marissa Tomei along too. Hello. On with the Brett Lee Fashion Power Hour.
I'm not going to argue a Melissa Torme
no
appearance.
She looks prettier now than she did.
Whoa.
What?
Not now. I mean, now, great. Back then.
See, I think she's hotter now.
Okay.
I think she's one of those that a little bit of.
We'll take this off air.
A little mileage added on her has just made her prettier. Like her and the wrestler. As the 40-year-old stripper.
I hadn't seen what she was a stripper.
Yeah, have you not seen The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
About 6, 7 years on the way home.
Okay, wait till you get home, please. But you'll just love the movie. That's a great movie. Mickey Rourke deserved an Oscar in that movie. Anyway,
Mickey Rourke's horrible.
Well, he is now, and his face looks like your butt. All right, let's go.
You know what my butt looks like.
Why do you think I keep getting one better? True.
That is very true. CD Motel.
Oh, by the way, I've got to tell 3A coaches this. Any 4A coaches that listen, we don't care what region you are. If you could schedule some playoffs in Houston, we'd appreciate it. So, you know, Stephenville, if you want to take that first round game down to Spring ISD.
There's more CD hotels down there than anywhere.
I'm at Frenchie's.
Oh, okay. I still kind of think you're getting me into CD hotels.
Why would I do that with some grease on my hands from Frenchie?
Chicken grease?
I could. Instead of the Reese's pieces like E.T. for you, it's a little chicken grease drop.
Man. I hadn't had Frenchie since the playoffs last year.
Man, I didn't get to go to that one.
Yeah.
I haven't had Frenchie's since 2 years ago.
Well, I have. I went to the original Frenchie's with bars on the.
Didn't you say that was the one time it wasn't?
No, it was
good. It was good. Okay, maybe
because I had to risk my life.
Maybe that's what it was. The shotgun holes in the car kind of made you think it was.
Not our car, by the way.
Nothing will ever beat, though, me, you, intern Noe, eating Frenchies in a parking lot, HEB parking lot, in not the best area of Houston.
See, I think of a lot of things that beat that.
I don't know, that's some pretty good. And we were getting mad respect. Everybody was like, all right, y'all willing to come down here for Frenchies and eat it out in the open?
Dudes are riding by on their bikes.
Remember the dude asking for the ride?
I didn't know if they wanted my chicken or my money.
Well, remember the one dude asked us for a ride to the liquor store because it started raining.
Did we give him one? I think we did.
Yeah, he got in the back of Noe's truck in the rain.
Smelt like a goat.
Anyway, no, that was Noe. Let's go to week 11 preview. Not a lot of games. Again, we're going to shorten this up. Next week, we'll be calling every playoff game and picking them and talking about them. So let's start in a district that, well, let's just start with the first two games. Paris versus Argyle, Kaufman versus Melissa. All right, one of these is not like the other because I'm curious to see what Paris does against Argyle because I feel both teams are ramping up, and I think we could have a little bit more of a battle than what people are expecting. The other one, yeah, if Kaufman stays within four touchdowns, I will be impressed because I think Kaufman was a great start to the year, but you and I, even though we were ranking them, we kept saying they're winning, but, man, they're beating okay teams by okay scores. They've gotten to this district where
Is Lindell okay? Because – Kaufman did beat.
I still don't trust Lindell this year.
Right.
I still don't trust Lindell.
We didn't trust him last year.
We didn't. And, you know, maybe Lindell fools us twice. We'll talk about them in a minute.
Paris, Argyle. Paris, two great quarterbacks in this game, though. Luke Hohenberger, he's just an athletic, you know, quarterback that leads an athletic offense. Jet Copeland, the quarterback for Argyle, just great quarterback. I mean, probably the fastest guy on the field every week. Will he be the fastest guy on the field against Paris, though? I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question, man. I think this would be one of the few games that maybe this in La Vega where he's not probably the fastest guy on the field.
But you know what? He leads an offense that executes very well, and he executes the offense from the quarterback position very well. And the Argyle defense, it's just, I mean, Argyle, with their struggles, you know, you say struggles. Any other team that had the quote-unquote struggles that Argyle has had is, whoa, look at them, out of the blue. They're going to be a state finalist. But, you know, Argyle has had two hiccups, right?
Yeah. One real hiccup, a couple of games against really good teams that they struggled in. And you're right, Argyle, and they've earned this right. They've earned that right, which can be a negative, though, to where if you're not winning 65-0 every week.
Right. Then everybody's looking down their nose at you.
People need to realize not only did you
but know, Argyle's defense has never been in question during any of these, even against Melissa.
No, you're right. You're right.
And this Argyle defense is among the best defenses in this class.
I think people forget that not only coming off of a state championship, this is one of the younger teams in Argyle. Now, maybe not by classification, but this is one of the few times where this is the first time they're seeing the field because they had such good seniors ahead of them the last couple of years.
Right.
And so this is a young team.
Which meant Argyle's second team on the bench last year could have went to the third round.
Easy. Yeah, that's a good point.
JV could have probably won a playoff game.
And they're growing up. Now, the thing is, with the numbers they've turned in, This is their last shot in 4A.
Yeah.
They're going to be 5A next year unless something just really weird happens. But wherever the cutoff is.
I'm going to miss them, too.
Oh, I'm going to miss them, too. It's going to be curious to see who replaces them in Division One. Who becomes one of the stalwart teams? Will it be somebody that's already here? Will Stephenville start to be more consistent? Or will we have a 5A team that we're not expecting? Or a 4A Division Two team? Because this is one of the weird, one of the fewer classifications where I think most people would rather be D1 right now than D2 because, again, of Carthage. But anyway, what do you see in these two games? And I'll just read Coach X's back-to-back. So what do you see? But let's talk Kauffman, Melissa. Kauffman 7-2. We talked about losses to Paris, Argyle. The offense is still there. Derek Clayman and their running back, Braxton Garman, and Daylon Dickerson at wide receiver. Their issue is not that they can't score. It's that their defense has become a sieve against these really good teams.
That's right. And they're going up against a Melissa offense that has outscored opponent 381-170. Their quarterback, Sam Finnegan, a really, really good quarterback. I think this Kauffman defense gets it just between the eyes again with this Melissa offense, and people don't talk about this Melissa defense. Well, they did after they shut out Argyle, but I think I think this Melissa defense gonna have their, you know, their hands full a little bit with Clayman at quarterback, but I still think this Melissa defense is good enough and that defensive front to really mess with that Kauffman offense. So I like Melissa by 14 to 21 points in this game, and I like Argyle by 6 or 7. I think this Argyle-Paris game, I think, hey,
I like look, that. No,
Paris has gotten right. They have, and they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs, and I think Argyle is going to have to just push and pull. It's going to be teeth and hair, and Argyle's going to finally win it, but they're going to end up walking a little slow for a couple of days.
I only disagree with you for one reason, and okay. It's a reason that shouldn't matter, but it does. This game's in Argyle, and for some reason, Paris goes into DFW. They seem to play 7 points less than they are. But I do agree. I think Paris hangs on in this game. I think Argyle wins.
Paris just has a knack with hanging. Paris and La Vega have a knack of hanging with Argyle.
Yeah, last year Argyle only beat them 28-7. And that, you know, that shows right there what they can do. All right, let's see what Coach X has to say about both games. Paris versus Argyle. Heavyweight matchup here. Hey, why doesn't Paris ever play Athens? I mean, that would be a really cool matchup of teams from Europe. Like, you could bill it as the Crusaders or the Old World War. Maybe they don't play because the people from Paris would realize that the French army historically isn't the most formidable army ever. But then why do you name yourself Paris if you knew going into the naming process? And why aren't they New Paris or New Boston or New England or New York or New Berlin? You know, why all those places are called that? Because they came after the original city. So what are you trying to say, Paris, that you're better than the original City of Lights? Well, you are in Texas and the other places in France, so that you have that going for you. So maybe you are better. Texas ain't never surrendered to no Germans. I mean, Central Texas is pretty much Germanic, so kind of did. Texas ain't ever eaten no snails either. And the most famous French person ever is...
I've eaten escargot.
Yes, and not bad, not great, yeah. But not, it's okay.
Just don't sneeze while you're eating it.
Oh, wow.
It does.
Wow.
You know it does.
The most famous French person ever is a skunk that was very aggressive with ladies, to put it lightly. Yeah, name one French person more famous than Pepe Le Pew.
Gerard Perdue. Depardieu.
And he's a little aggressive with women, too.
He is.
There you go.
And he's overweight
you
like
could,
me.
You could literally...
I could be that guy that got Julia Roberts.
You could literally call him a human version of Pepe Le Pew.
He is.
I like that.
I didn't smell that bad.
He's French. Let's start a petition to rename Paris, France, Old Paris. Noe, get on that. I'm fired up now. Paris beats Argyle. Wow. He's calling for the
upset. Man, all right.
All right, here's a Kauffman with Melissa. Isn't there a famous person named Melissa Kauffman? If there isn't, there has to be a person just named Melissa Kauffman. Like, that is a first and a last name. Hey, did y'all see that kid from Stevenberg ask me about him being a first
name? Andy Kauffman's daughter.
Yeah. Really?
Vodka.
Oh, I thought he was really. You were saying that his daughter was really named Melissa Kaufman.
I don't even know what we're talking about right
now. I can tell it's the second show. You know, a man with two first names. He said something about Grant seeing him make tackles. I doubt that happened. Not that he didn't make tackles, but that Grant saw him make tackles. You see, son, Grant is not a. Oh, here we go. Grant is not a real person, but more of a composite sketch of what a football analyst wants to be like. He's like Santa Claus. As long as you believe in him, he is real, and he's also. He's also like Santa
Dead
Claus.
That person just saw me last Friday night.
Yes. And he's also like Santa Claus in the fact that he's broken into several people's home while they're asleep, eating cookies and drink. Well, not milk, but other stuff. And that is not all he does while he's in there. But there's a story for another time. Melissa's going to whip Kaufman. Now, he doesn't eat cookies. He goes in there and starts cooking steak at 3 a.m. All right, let's go to East Texas. Let's go to Kilgore versus Lindell. This is a game between two teams that it feels like Kilgore is the team that has a ready for a deep playoff run. But, man, every time we're ready to say it, Lindell's not going to do it, they find a way to do it. I'm curious about this game.
I am,
in
too,
Lindell,
but I'm telling you right now, Kilgore pounds the hell out of Lindell's run defense. Kilgore will move the ball early and often on the ground and just beat this Lindell defense into submission. But I still think it's within a 14-point spread.
Well, you know, last year these two teams met in the season. Lindell won both of them. They were high-scoring games. They beat Kilgore in district last year.
Just lower scoring.
47-40, and then they beat Kilgore in the playoffs in that third round, 56-42. Yeah, I agree. And just simply because – not only because – I don't think Lindell's offense is quite as good. I think Kilgore's defense is better this year. You know, I'm very comfortable in feeling that Kilgore wins this game, but this game being in Lindell, and Lindell, whether they have it at running back or not, they just are finding ways to win games at times this year, or even when they lose, they play. I mean, there are three losses. Kaufman has slipped a little bit, but yeah. The three losses are Kaufman, Van, and Kilmer. And in all three of those games, they were in those games.
So Kaufman's given up a lot of points, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Kaufman. Van gave up a lot of points. They lost to Van.
And they gave up a lot of points and they lost to Kilmer.
All right.
And scored a lot. And scored.
Kaufman and Van aren't as good as Kilgore.
No.
Read the writing on the wall.
I agree with you there.
Okay.
Now, most pundits are saying this is a
next
2 to 10 point game. I think it's about a 14.
Who's the pundits?
People on the net. I say
pundits are dumb because it's going to be 21 points. Kilgore.
Oh, all right. Let's see what Coach X says.
Name it here, right here. You mark it here. Kilgore will win by 21 or more.
All right. I don't disagree with you. I kind of, again, remember what I said when we were talking?
If I'm wrong, then we will not be doing the show next week. But I think.
That's not how this works at all.
No, it is. It's a new regime.
Okay. Is this like a wrestler leave town match? If you call, if you're wrong, you're no longer on the show.
Yeah.
This game feels like, what I kind of told you last week, I was making picks. It feels like a 42-21 game, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a game where it's close for a half, and then Kilgore just starts to grind down the Lindell defense, and they put it away.
I think that's exactly how it's going to happen.
All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Who is the most famous person in the history of Lindell? Miranda Lambert. Yep, that's right. Have you ever noticed that sometimes she looks smoking hot, and then other times she looks like she got up out of the chair halfway through her dental procedure? Anyway, that pales in comparison to the most famous person ever from Kilgore. Everybody in East Texas knows who it is, or anybody that has ever visited the Smokey.com website. That's right. It's Daniel Swain. Dude, if you ever seen that man do anything, play golf, haul cattle, enter a spelling contest, you know you're in for a treat. I'm going to say Kilgore channels the spirit of old number 54 and pulls one out for the Bulldogs. All right. Nice.
All right.
All right, final game of the night, Port Lavaca Calhoun versus Corpus Christi Cal Allen. Calhoun's 5-3, 3-1 in district. They can score with anybody.
They can run the ball against any defense, right?
They just have an issue with stopping teams.
Yeah.
And that's.
But let's look at them offensively. Right. Calhoun's running backs, Adrian Chambers and Tony Hensley, have been just lights out all year. And then you got Jacob Laughlin at quarterback, who he's a threat in that slot T as well. But Cal Allen, look, they're 8-1, 4-0 in district. Their only loss was to Cornerstone, where they kind of just pulled off, backed off, right?
They were beat up, and game got – it's one of those that happens every a lot of times, that last non-district game.
Uh-huh.
Game got out from them, and they just kind of packed it in. And
could have been closer. They could have actually probably won that game, right?
I think they've at least been competitive, yeah.
Yeah, so Cal Allen has outscored their opponents 337 to 117, though. Let that sink in. That's a pretty wide margin.
With 31 right? of those points coming in one game.
Right.
So almost a third of the points in that one game. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, their running back, Epi Henososa, has ran for over 1,300 yards. Luke Medina has almost 500 yards. And then Tariq Hickman, the quarterback, leads that offense, like basically a wing T offense, to a T. I mean, this Cal Allen offense is hard to stop.
And last year, they were one of the few teams that was able to stop Calhoun as they held them to just 7 points. Calhoun's better this year defensively than they have been. But still, you know, they held Stafford, a solid Stafford team, to 14 points. They still, though, when they've played the teams that know how to score.
I don't know that their defense is better.
I think they're a little better, but I don't think it matters in this game. I don't think that they'll be able to stop Cal Allen. Poor Lavaca Calhoun is one of the weird teams that runs the ball, but they don't control the clock because they get big chunks. So their offense actually at times hurts their defense. It hasn't been as crazy last year when everybody in that district could score. But in saying that, they still got beat by Miller. They gave up 40 points. 44 points. They gave up 46 to Alice. And, you know, the Coyotes last year could score, but Alice this year struggled. I mean, they're 0-4 in district. This is one of those that we always say looks good on paper games, but I think Cal Allen, again, I'm going to be very generic. I think they win this game 48-21 type of game.
I think that sounds about right.
All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. I know I've said this before, but why sand crabs? Like, you were right.
Oh, I got to find the other page. Oh, here we go.
You're right on the beach. There are so many other things scarier in the ocean than a sand crab. Like, I've never said the sentence, we can't go swimming today, guys. There are a lot of crabs in the water. Now, I have not gone inside some places because there are crabs. That had nothing to do with the beach. But for real, Calhoun, you could have gone with sharks, whales, stingrays, barracuda, and you went with crabs. Really dropped the ball there like Terry on Dollar Shot Night in Boys Town. That girl had a really big Adam's apple, Terry. Calhoun beats Calhoun. Well, look, she told me her Mexican name was Steve. Okay, I'm going to go with it. All right, so we all believe that Cal Allen is going to win and win easily. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Again, if there's been some listening issues, we do apologize. Working on that to get that fixed ASAP. Coaches shows and the DFW regional show and the NFL show that we normally record tomorrow will probably be recorded Thursday because I'm going to have to go get some parts tomorrow. We're going to get it all fixed, but we do thank you for sticking with us. Again, please check out our sponsors, L4FR Clothing, right now at L4FRClothing.com. Enter the discount code SIDELINE. Get 20% off your total order. Check out Fat Cow Jerky, fatcowjerky.com. for all your jerky needs, and Xanago for your disinfectant needs. And I have got their new gun, the Xanago gun that you use to spray to disinfect.
You do?
Yeah, it's over there. I was playing with it a little bit earlier this week.
You can play with guns.
It's a disinfectant sprayer. It's just called.
Let me see that.
But anyway,
where is that?
Right over there. We'll check them out. Wow, the pants are
right here.
Out.
Right here.
All right
here.
Swing until the playoffs. He's Grant. I'm
just like an ant bed.
LSG Sports Network, brought to you by L4FR Clothing.
All the leaves have turned to rust, and the air's getting thin. I can see my breath, the night is rolling. The sky's gray, it's cold as a stone, it's just the kind of day.